My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
We just passed the halfway point of our day three coverage of the NFL draft. Christian Ocero, Jay Binkley. During the break, three picks came in, first being the Jacksonville Jaguars, who took defensive tackle Jordan Jefferson out of LSU. He was the third name that was kind of thrown out there as a defensive tackle option for any teams looking for that on like day two. So, here he goes and he kind of adds a little bit more. He's more of a run defender than anything, more than actual pass rusher for the Jags. After him, the Colts took Tanner Bordellini, a center out of Wisconsin.
I actually like him because he can play center or guard.
And I think that gives him a little bit of value there. And then also,
and by the way, he was a sub-5 guy in the 40.
Yeah. Incredible athlete and teams like that, especially if they want to run a lot of those screen passes, they want to run a lot of those power O's. There's option there. And then,
he stood out at the combine.
Yeah, he did. And then, Tyrese Knight, linebacker from UTEP, went to the Seahawks after that. So Steelers are on the clock right now. Their selection is in. So we will see where they go.
I was waiting for the Eagles to make some kind of move for the center position.
Yeah, I mean, we expected that. It looks like, though, that pick has been traded. Looks like now that 120, where the Eagles were at, looks like the Miami Dolphins moved up to get that pick at 120. So that's interesting. I wonder where they're going to go. Because you look at best available right now, and certainly has changed a lot because of the because of all the receivers starting to go now. TJ Tampa's still there, guy who had a second round grade for a lot of people. Jaden Hicks, safety, Washington State. Cade Stover still out there. Brendan Rice could be an option, though. I don't think Brendan Rice kind of fits with the Dolphins.
Cam Hart, probably the second best corner behind TJ Tampa.
Yeah. The Steelers took Mason McCormick, guard out of South Dakota State. A guy that we both liked.
Him and Mahogany. Yeah. Mahogany's still there, but
It's starting to run a little thin there. Cam Hart's there. Austin Booker. I know they went edge rusher in the first round with Chop Robinson, but, Austin Booker sitting right there. Christian Jones, tackle that I like from Texas there, right tackle. He's there. Mekhi Wingo, the other defensive tackle with that trio that they had at LSU. He's there. Chris Abrams-Drain, cornerback from Mizzou. He's available. And then you got Jalen Wright from Tennessee, running back, also there. And your guy, Spencer Rattler.
Still there. It's going to be interesting to see some of these quarterback goes. But the ton of running back talent still left.
Yeah, there
ton
is
a ton of running back talent still left.
And you wonder, maybe they're trading up because they like a running back and they want to get some more depth there.
With Achane, though.
Yeah, Achane, but Achane also had some injury issues. He's smaller.
It was great that he changed his name from Achane to Achane right during the season. I think you talk about getting used to something and he changes it.
Yeah, I think, what was it, like three different pronunciations? Because like there was one pre-draft.
It was A-Chain originally, wasn't it?
It was A-Chain. It was A-Chain for a while. And then during the season, it was A-Chain.
Yeah.
Like, maybe he's going to come out with a new version of it this year.
It was like slash Adalberto Mondesi.
Yeah, exactly. We were his Raul Mondesi for a while, and then he switched it to Adalberto. Yeah, that was, maybe that's something that happens there. This will be interesting to see what the, you're trading up in the fourth round here. I think this is, a lot of teams are trying to get some more value as they, as we start to dwindle on some of the, for sure, or pretty good talent here, as we talked about in the 10 o'clock hour. Once you get past like round four, round five, that window starts to dwindle as far as like where the talent is for these.
It's just changed. Brett Veach labeled it right there. It's changed. Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl talked about, you know, how things have changed as well. Miami's interesting, though, because Miami's at the crossroads.
Yeah.
They took those steps and they get their ass kicked in the playoffs. You know, they keep taking these baby steps. They got to start kicking that door through. Their draft so far this year, by the way, decent if you like Chop Robinson. Again, Chop Robinson production over stats that he
right.
put up.
Yeah.
And a guy that I really like, Patrick Paul, they got in the second round, the tackle from Houston.
The guy that I would have liked a little bit more than Suamataia, the tackle the Chiefs got. But look, the Dolphins really needed a tackle. And I think they played it well because by the time they were on the board, tackle really wasn't an option in the first round. So you wait it out. You go get Patrick Paul. I think Patrick Paul's a great addition to the team. You do a better job of getting some more depth there on your offensive line.
Now, that's an easy name to say.
That is. You would not be stumbling over Patrick Paul at all if he was the starting, if he was the left tackle pick for the Chiefs.
I don't know. You talk about how you wouldn't trip over it, but you know, maybe you're going to jinx it. And
I don't
Kansas
know how
City's going to draft somebody with a simple name, and you're like, oh, Kansas City's on the clock, and they pick X person, and you just trip over the name.
It's usually the non-common names that he has a real problem with.
You know what, though? One of my favorite guys is still out there, though.
Like he had a big problem last year with Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Oh, God, real. Yes. I just started calling him Jackson. If I just call you by your first name.
Or you called him JSN.
If I go first name or nickname, it's because I'm having a little bit of issues.
Yeah, you were struggling with that. I was like, I knew it. And I knew.
But
and
you know what, though? Because here's the thing, though. It's Mike Dana.
Yeah.
Veach in his press call,
Dana.
They called her Dana a couple times.
I was listening to that yesterday, I was like, come on.
No, the official, I pulled that, the official depth chart says right there, the pronunciation
Dana.
Guy is Dana.
Yeah, I know. I had to check that because originally I was like, it's Dana. Then I heard Veach and he said Dana.
Yep.
And I was like, hold on, that's not right. And then, another thing I do is I'll listen to the players say their names whenever they do those, introduction videos for like Sunday Night Football. So we know that's one of the ways that we know how their names are pronounced.
Was it Marquez Valdez-Scantling that corrected somebody during the introductory press conference?
Because people called him Marquez.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's Marquez.
And speaking of corners, there's three guys that we really like. You with Kalen King at Penn State.
Which I think he projects more as a safety than a corner.
I'm a big Quantez Stiggers guy because he was defensive rookie of the year for the Toronto Argonauts, played the Canadian Football League, played the Fan Control Football League, did not play college football, went to the East-West Shrine game. The Chiefs have talked to him, so I'm a fan of that. And then Kamal Haddon from Tennessee that has suffered that injury. I like him. So there are a couple corners there that I would say I'd put, especially Quantez. I mean, that's my diamond in the rough right there. Let's hope that we need the Chiefs. Last year, Coburn was the only guy I got, man.
Yeah, you did.
Can we get somebody, man?
You were proud of that Coburn pick, man. You were really proud when they picked him.
Yeah, and he's the one that sucked.
He's not on the team anymore.
Oh, snacks, let me down.
No, I mean, I did pick Felix Onyedike Uzomah to the Chiefs, and he played in like what, two games, three games?
I have fallen hard since my Mahomes pick.
That's Super Bowl champion Felix Onyedike Uzomah.
I guess. I'll take it. The Dolphins took Jalen Wright, running back out of Tennessee.
There you go. You talk about that running back depth. That is a good. This is a team that led the NFL most of the year in rushing.
Yeah, they need to run the football effectively for their offense to work.
This is a nice pick for him because this is a nice stable of running backs.
Yeah, and the thing is like Raheem Mostert is in his 30s, and you know you do have to think about Chan's health because he did get hurt last year.
But he's faster than
he's fast, but he's not a big running back. So he's more, I think he's more of a committee type. So, they still have Eugene Wilson, right? Whatever his name is, Wilson.
Well, I think that people look at the Dolphins,
the 49ers.
And they think throw. They're actually a very good running team with Mike, because he comes from Kyle Shanahan's system with the 49ers. So naturally, they're going to be able to do it. But in the regular season last year, the Miami Dolphins ended up finishing sixth in total rushing yards last year. Of course, the Ravens finished one again. But you know what? All those Ravens running backs are with the Chargers now.
Yeah, I mean, I said
J.K. Dobbins.
I said this all last year. When everyone was sweating about the Dolphins offense, I was like, it's all about the running game. If you stop the running game, their passing game is not that effective because it's all built on using play action to try to freeze the defense for that split second and give guys like Tyreek and Jalen Waddle a little bit of more time to be able to get open behind a lot of that zone coverage that teams are playing. And you know, then they played the Chiefs, and the Chiefs handled the run game. They pressed them at the line of scrimmage and completely shut down that passing game. And you know, that in combination with the cold weather really kind of screwed up that that Dolphins offense there. We just saw the Seahawks go, and they took A.J. Barner, tight end out of Michigan. So you know, we're starting to see tight ends come off the board here in round four. You've got Theo Johnson who went in the round. You got Jatavion Sanders that went early in the round. And we saw Eric Ali go to the Bengals there. And then now we've got,
you might have to sit out this year because of injury. So
yeah. It looks
nice
like
job Bengals.
I mean, this is a long-term pick. Maybe they're betting on that athleticism and seeing if maybe they can turn him into a future starter at the tight end spot. But the Seahawks take A.J. Barner. That was pick 121. We're on pick 122 now with the Bears on the clock. So we're starting to get really close here. We're within 10 picks of the Kansas City Chiefs making their first selection. We think so, unless they trade out or unless they trade up. From making their first pick of the fourth round at pick 131.
A lot of times you'll see there's relatively few when you get to the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh.
Right.
I mean, where the trades kind of halt a little bit because you're thinking, okay, there's not really that one guy you're desperate to go get. I mean, it does happen like Shamari Connor last year. The Chiefs traded up to get Shamari Connor. So
right.
Eventually there is that guy. Doesn't always happen. We saw the trades hot and heavy in the second round and the third round, but sometimes you get the fourth, you're like, just content to stay where you're at.
So a piece of news just came out. The New York Giants believe that Darren Waller is going to retire. They're operating as if Darren Waller is gone.
Hence the Theo Johnson pick.
Yep, which makes sense. I mean, Theo Johnson is a very Darren Waller type tight end. So
when you retire,
Daniel
Jones is your quarterback too.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, he was pretty pissed about being traded to New York.
And that guy, man, what
his wife plays in Vegas.
Still happened to him. Darren Waller was on the fast track to success, man.
He was, but he's always had injury issues in his career. And when was the last great season he had? Maybe was it 21? Like was it 20? Like he has not really been the kind of player that a lot of people were thinking about. The Bears just took Torrey Taylor, a punter.
The punter. I was going to say, the punter alert. The first punter's off the board.
Is your first special team.
Hey, by the way, you're playing at Iowa as a punter. You kicked all the time.
I'm
shocked he's got leg left at Iowa.
His leg is probably buff as hell. Like I guarantee
there's
that
nobody,
leg.
I'm not even going to look at the numbers. I guarantee nobody punted more than him.
No, I guarantee. No, we don't even need the stats, man. I'm not pulling. I'm not going to look on the beast and look that up. I guarantee you that Torrey Taylor, he got a workout. He probably averaged, what, 10 punts a game when he was at Iowa?
Yeah.
That might be concerning. Conservative. I mean, I'll tell you, this guy is very refined. He's got a lot of kicks in his leg already. A lot of mileage there. Oh, man. Yeah.
Hey, the Bears got Caleb Williams, Romo Dunze. They're not
not need to use him that much, but, you know, hey, I'm sure he's got plenty of opportunities to coffin corner when he was at Iowa. So I think this is a good pick for him.
I always think you kind of waste picks with specialists.
I think because, so, too, for the most
like
part.
Like Townsend's, you know, he's been an all-pro before, and he was undrafted. You know what I'm saying? You can get guys that are kickers, but, you know, if this
I mean, Bunker right, was a guy that the Chiefs signed off the Panthers practice squad.
I think this early is a tad wasted of a pick to go this high on a punter.
poverty franchise. That's a poverty franchise pick.
I think it's fine.
No.
They've made some really strong picks
way
before.
Way too early so for fun. Punter, man.
It's early, but yeah. So looking at his profile here, he's 6'3". He's 220. He's massive. This is a big kid. I do not care about his arm length.
What's his arm length? Does matter with receiving the football.
His arm length is 32 and an eight.
That's Jordan Morgan stuff.
So he could not rush passer. He could not be a pass rusher. But his arms are too short.
It does matter, though, when you receive the punt, right? How big are those arms?
I do not think teams care about the arm
shave off
length.
A half second? You know, if your arms are bigger, when you can lean forward faster.
It doesn't shave off any time. He has a 79-inch wingspan. He's a big dude. 6'3", 223. So he can tackle the hell out of someone who's running past the first line of defense on a punt return.
By the way, Cade Stover
goes to the Texans.
So as you're saying, this is the tight end of all tight end.
This is the tight end round right here, fourth round.
Two picks ago, Cade Stover to the Houston Texans.
Man, this is the tight end run right here. It is, but I'll say this. This is one of the most unimpressive tight end runs that I have seen in the draft. The tight end run that happened last year, way more impressive than this one.
Oh, 100%. The Bengals selected all.
Yeah.
Again, may or may not play this year.
Yeah, so might not be a guy. So you had Jatavion Sanders off the board now. You got Theo Johnson off the board. Again, we just, it came out that the Giants are operating as if Darren Waller is going to retire. You had Eric All going there for Iowa to the Bengals. A.J. Barner goes from Michigan to Seattle. And then just now, Cade Stover goes from Ohio State down to Houston to play for the Texans.
Started his career at Ohio State on the defensive side. Went there as a linebacker. You're a tight end for us. But I didn't feel that would be a Chiefs pick anyway because of Ohio State.
And the Eagles keep trading back. Like, they were at 120, then they moved back to 123, and they just moved back. They moved back, and now they are at 127.
Best fits for teams, that Peyton Wilson, that would just scream Steeler to me. And Jackson Powers Johnson screamed Eagles to me, but he went to the Raiders.
Yeah, man, that was surprising that the Eagles didn't go in there and try to go and grab Jackson Powers Johnson. That very much, from a personality standpoint, from
a position standpoint, play guard.
Yeah, I mean, they said he was a guard. They announced him as a guard. So
I think that's where he's going to go.
I kind of feel like that's where he's going to be at. It's a position. Look, I give the Raiders a little bit of a respect for going out there and trying to shore up their lines, because their line play has not been good really on either side of the ball since like 2020, especially their offensive line. Remember in 2020, their offensive line was really good, and then they just blew it up that year. Yeah, you had Rodney Hudson, and
was the strength of that team.
Yeah, I mean, it was
They're
one of the big reasons why they
football focus. Like,
it was the big reason why they beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead that year, and then they took them to the limit when they played in Vegas. So definitely was a big strength for them and helped them win. And then they just blew the lineup after that year, and they haven't been the same since on offense. So right now we have they're waiting to announce the 49ers pick, who are on the clock at pick 124. We are less than 10 picks away now from the two picks that the Chiefs have at 131.
All right, text line 913-586-7610, the J Southland Tow Service text line. What position group do you throw a dart at? Well, I shouldn't say dart, because they actually expect these guys to perform for the Chiefs. Who does Brett Veach take with 131 and 133?
Back in here on the day three coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft here on 610 Sports Radio, the Odyssey app. Christian Ocero, Jay Binkley. During the break, we had a couple of picks come in. The San Francisco 49ers go Malik Mustafa, a safety from Wake Forest. And then the Bucks go out and they get, is this the first run? No, second running back to come off the board here in the fourth round. They take Bucky Irving, the running back from Oregon, a guy that there were a lot of Chiefs fans were looking at as a potential running back here in the third, fourth round range.
Yeah, Bucky to the Bucks. Get this, he did lead FBS running backs in catches last season with 56 a year ago, back-to-back 1,000-yard years. Then you throw in those catches, man. I mean, that's the kind of guy Chiefs look for. You know, they have those kind of catches out of the backfield.
Yeah, they do like that. They value a running back that can make those.
What was his 40 time? It wasn't impressive.
I don't think super great. But yeah, Bucky Irving certainly makes a lot of sense for that team. 4.55. So yeah, so decent speed, and yeah, you're definitely the ability to be able to catch passes, pass protect. You know, he was a good runner there as well. I mean, yeah, I think he kind of gives you the full complement of what you're looking for. A weird trade just happened here. The New York Jets were on the clock, but they traded away pick 126 to the Detroit Lions, and the compensation they got back for round four, pick 126, is a third round pick from the Detroit Lions. Really, really weird here. The pick is in for the Lions, so they're kind of taking their time, playing it up to the crowd there. Makes a lot of sense, but really weird to move back to move up, you know, move into the fourth round and go take a player. You know, it'll be interesting to see who they take here. But really weird to send a third round pick away for what is a late fourth round pick. This is not like an early fourth round, so the values are very similar. We're past the halfway point here in the round, and now we're looking at the late third round, late fourth round here.
Still running back in play. Look at the text line asking what they want. Several running backs. There's Johnny Wilson of Florida State, the wide receiver. TJ Tampa, a couple of votes on that. Chris Abrams Drain. A few there. So corner getting a few nods here and a few wide receivers. I think Anthony Gould still, you're only going to get a 5'8 guy, but 4'3'9 can return as well at Oregon State. I would take a long, hard look at that. Get another pass catcher. So you just have one.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I like Xavier Worthy, but get several.
Brendan Rice is still sitting out there. So I think that would be really interesting. Another person, brought up Johnny Wilson Jr. from Florida State. Kind of feels like, maybe you could decide.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Second of the fourth round pick, you go here, you go there, and maybe if TJ Tampa is sitting there, maybe you go him with that first fourth round pick. Another one, Braylon Allen. Man, not super fast, but he's huge. He's massive.
He was about 240 pounds.
Massive. I mean, I'll say this. he would be exciting for like a lot of the Chiefs media people because he would be that short yardage back.
No, I'll massive. Say this too about Johnny Wilson, who listed we thought was mostly 6'7". He's actually 6'6". 231. He did run a 4.52 though,
which is really good for someone his size.
You know, and then bake of the combination, he did the vertical 37-inch vertical 20-yard shuttles 4.11. But they talk about okay, can this guy be a tight end as well? Well. The 4.52 speed with his size is actually pretty impressive.
That would be like, you know, it's like 0.9 of a second faster than Travis Kelce. So you'll take that, man. I'd be cool with it. I still would like to see them, you know, if they could go get a TJ Tampa with one of the two picks, and then if you can get Johnny Wilson Jr., I'm cool with that too. It's you know, kind of crazy to see like Johnny Wilson Jr. was a guy that was a mid to late first round grade through the early parts of the season, and then slowly but surely kind of started to fall off and his draft stock started to go down. And, you know, you look at him now and it's looking a little dicey for him.
Yeah. As far as back to the Dolphins for a second, how fast those receivers are with Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Achane runs a 4.32. Jaylen Wright, they just drafted 4.38.
So yeah, they like speed.
They are putting speed with the Dolphins.
They like, and it makes sense because they a lot of their offense is kind of built around doing these zone runs, you know, outside zone runs there, and it's very similar to what the 49ers do in their run game. They're all about the outside zone run. So I very much get where they're coming from with this. Lions are doing the extended version of their pick here. This lady who's been up here, I don't know who this is. She's been reading. She's been, you know, talking to the crowd here for like 10 minutes now. Really interested to see who the Lions are going to take since they moved a third round pick to move up in the fourth round. They take Giovanni Manu, a tackle from Canada, from British Columbia here. He's massive. He's 6'7". He's 352 pounds. A little bit older. He's, you know, he turned 23 earlier this year, but he's got 34 5/8-inch arms. So incredibly long arms. He's got 10.5-inch hands. So this is a big dude, but this is a tackle that they're taking here in the fourth round. And they moved a third round pick for next year to go get him.
Second best lineman since Laurent Duvernay-Tardif out of Canada.
Yeah.
He played at the University of British Columbia.
Yep.
You can't think of quality of competitions extreme up there.
No. I mean, like, I'm looking on the Beast right now, and they listed him as a priority free agent. Like, this was a guy that's
a lot to trade a pick for.
Yes, I'm saying. So trade a third-round pick for, which is pretty good value.
Somebody
still
fell in love with him in the draft. Someone 100% did.
Yeah, I can't
remember. Or they owe somebody a favor.
Yeah, I think this is more so you really, really like what you saw in tape. I mean, look, I think you probably could have got him in like the sixth round.
Oh, yeah.
Fifth round, sixth round.
Like, I don't know if you guys can answer this, but if he's from Canada, why doesn't he qualify for the same thing as like what we did with the
international
rugby guy.
Player program?
Yeah.
They don't do that.
They don't. I think they just draft them straight out of college in Canada just because they have okay.
He's typically drafted in the CFL as well.
Yeah, because that's what it was with Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is they drafted him out of McGlynn College.
Yeah,
in
but
Canada.
This international player thing is like new. Like this is a newer.
Right. I think it's because there's actual college football system.
Because Canada is just America's hat.
Yeah, and speaking of that, like the Chiefs, they get the rugby player. They can put him on the practice squad extra. You
probably pissed off some of the Canadians. Canadians that are listening by saying that Canada's America's
by the bay. By the way, Will Shipley, running back from Clemson, that kind of liked 4.39 speed. He just went to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Makes sense, man. That's a team that the running game is very vital to the Eagles' offense there, much like it is in San Francisco and Miami. So that checks out. Will Shipley, very fast running back there for Clemson. I like that pick for him. So now we are sitting at pick 128. The Bills are on the clock. Man, the Bills have been taking some L's in this draft, so it'll be interesting to see where they go here because they gotta try to build some sort of goodwill with their fans. But we'll take a break here real quick. And when we come back, we'll continue on the draft coverage here on 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back. This is coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft here at 610 Sports Radio. Chris Unocero, Jay Binkley. Man, my heart got broken.
Stop crying, man. Get off the floor.
My heart got broken to the break, during the break. So the Bills took Ray Davis, running back out of Kentucky, which, you know, fine, whatever. The 49ers, the Super Bowl losing San Francisco 49ers, took my guy, Isaac Garrido, running back out of Louisville. Not happy about that. That one hurts. I really wanted
4.33 speed.
6'2", 220. He's massive. Yeah,
if the Niners draft, you knew you're good because they have a knack with running backs. Yeah. The interesting thing here is three straight running backs, 4 out of 5. When it started with Bucky Irving, then the Lions went away with that with offensive line, but then you went Will Shipley, Ray Davis, Isaac Garrido, back to back to back. We've seen a run on running backs here, 4 out of the last 5.
It's
good fits for the Chiefs here.
He would have been a great fit. The size, speed profile. He's a bigger Isaiah Pacheco. Just as fast as Pacheco is, but he's big. He's
faster.
He is faster. Pacheco was 4.37. But he's massive. Like, there's not that many guys that are 6'2", 220 that run that fast. I mean, there's guys out there that are, you know, right around that 4.4, 4.5 range at that size, let alone being able to do that there. And not only that, he's not have a ton of mileage on him.
The Chiefs are on the clock now because TJ Tampa, people are wondering, finally off the board.
A lot of guys we liked here in this round. TJ Tampa's off the board going to the Ravens, cornerback out of Iowa State. So Chiefs are on the clock. The pick is in right now. I'm sure that Veach was probably making some calls to see if he could move up, because that's kind of what they've been doing the entire draft.
They probably got the next one ready too, because they'll wait for the Eagles.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I certainly expect that they will be making that move. But yeah, the Chiefs are currently on the clock right now, and we will see where they go. They are announcing the pick right now. And this lady is taking a long time to announce this pick.
They're going tight end.
Jared Wiley, tight end out of TCU. So Chiefs go out there and they get a tight end, a position that we thought they might address at some point in this draft.
He's a big dude too, man. Yeah, he's 6'7", 250 pounds. But okay, for his size, he ended up having some production last year. 47 catches, 520 yards, 8 touchdowns, which is damn productive, you know, at the college ranks like that.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's about, like I said, about 6'6", 249, 4'6", 240 at the combine, so very similar to Travis Kelce.
He used to be a Longhorn, but he bolted there. Yeah. He was Jatavion Sanders. Right. He was a Longhorn, then TCU.
Yeah, I guess it couldn't beat out Jatavion. So, but, yeah, you look at him, good athletic profile there. You know, well, this is one of those where this is a developmental guy that they like. It's kind of hard to see where the long-term solution is, whether he's a long-term solution or if maybe they just kind of think he's one of those project guys. This very much kind of fits what they like.
4.6, 240. Now, Blake Bell is going to be gone.
Yeah.
They bring in Irv Smith. He'll be battling Irv Smith for the third tight end.
Right. And I mean, to be honest, at this point,
it's Kelce, Noah Gray, and then
if you go tight end here, you kind of think that they're looking at potential. I mean, I don't think they're going to keep 4 tight ends. So I think at this point, you think Irv Smith probably doesn't make the team unless this kid just doesn't show them anything at all and they end up cutting him. But yeah, I think at this point now, you're probably looking at Irv Smith losing his spot on the team should the Chiefs decide to just keep 3 tight ends.
As far as tight ends were concerned, as far as
I wonder if this was one of those picks
he
where
he was third in the vertical, by the way,
behind
Ben Sennett and Theo Johnson. So he did have good numbers at the combine because he participated in several things.
And also
wasn't as good in the broad. He was kind of mid range with the broad. And as far as 40-yard dash, as we mentioned, 4.62, which would have made him the fifth fastest tight end at the combine.
Right. And so as I said, 4.62 for a tight end is pretty good speed. Like that, again, that's Travis Kelce is a 4.6, 140 guy. So let's not go out here. Let's not trip over the speed there a little bit there. Tight end speed is going to be a lot slower than wide receiver speed. But yeah, this is a former Texas guy, moved to TCU. He was an honorable mention all Big 12 in 22. And he was first team all Big 12 this past season. Led the FBS tight ends in receiving yards, 2-point conversion. conversions. Yeah, 2-point conversion catches. He was a team captain on the team. This is a kid who had 520 receiving yards as a tight end there. He had 8 touchdowns. So yeah, it's you're pretty happy with what he did there as far as production goes. And Andy loves those bigger tight ends. He loves, I mean, he's had a bunch of the former basketball players on the team there. So yeah, this very much fits the mold that they like for tight end.
So you see, it's incredible size. I mean, if you are 12, 13 personnel, the 2 tight ends, the 3 tight end sets, you put somebody with his size in there. I mean, this is a massive tight end.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised they went tight end after the way the board kind of
height-wise.
Yeah, height-wise, it kind of laid out. But still, I mean, you're feeling. I'm not too concerned about this move here. I know, like, some people would have wanted, you know, a corner here, maybe another receiver.
I'm okay with the man 3 combination of 3 pass catchers.
Yeah.
Here's your second
one. This is another pass catcher. And
he actually got good hands because he catches with the hands, not his body.
Right, yeah. And you're going to have to play in the system with the Chiefs run. I'll be interested to see what we hear about as far as his mental aptitude for the game, because we know the Chiefs do run a more complicated offensive system, and that means that a lot of these receivers, they get a lot more freedom of choice as far as their routes go. And I wonder if maybe there's going, you know, they really like the acumen that he showed at that position, being able to kind of identify routes. It's one of the reasons why they love Xavier Worthy was that acumen for the game, mental aptitude for the game and understanding the offense. Maybe they really like what they saw from Jerry White.
And with the size, the red zone threat.
Yeah,
they 6'6".
Yeah, they definitely like that as well.
And you're talking about a team that made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, you're talking about a team that made the playoffs. And again, it's like, you know, at this point now, it's like if you're the Chiefs, you're absolutely going to go and draft for potential. You're drafting talent. You know, Jared Wiley is probably going to be a project guy at tight end. Noah Gray is going to his last year on his contract, right? So maybe this is the Noah Gray potential replacement backup. You know, maybe he turns into a starter long term. But, you know, from a size profile, he's very similar to Travis Kelce, just an inch taller than him. And, you know, about the same speed, about the same weight. They're both around 250. So, you know, from a size profile,
well,
it makes sense.
Yeah. He has that athleticism where he can be an H-back.
Exactly.
Where you can throw him in as a fullback or
right.
You know, short yardage gains. You throw him back there as a block. Chiefs went away from the fullback role.
Yeah, they did. They did. And, you know, they more so will just go H-back. I think at this point now, just based on that physical profile there, Irv Smith might be cooked as far as the roster spot goes.
Chiefs are back on the clock at this point now. So yeah, quick 131 and 133 picks.
Yeah, Lions making their selection right now. And again, they're probably going to do all the theatrics and take forever to name the players. But yeah, the Chiefs will be right on the clock right after that.
And he was first team All Big 12 this year at tight end.
Yes, so. Yeah, first team All Big 12. He led the FBS in receiving touchdowns for tight ends. The Lions take Sione Vaki, safety out of Utah, a guy that a lot of people thought would probably be around the third round range. So this, I wonder what compensation they gave up to move to that pick, because the Lions traded back up to go get Sione Vaki here right before the Chiefs. Wonder if maybe they thought the Chiefs were going to take Sione Vaki there, because the Chiefs have brought up that they would be, you know, interested in potentially getting a safety, potentially getting a corner. Wonder if maybe they decided we got to trade ahead of the Chiefs to go make sure that they don't get Sione Vaki.
By the way, the Chiefs now, 2 members of the first team All Big 12, Xavier Worthy and Jared Wiley.
They like those guys, man. They like
and they're Texas guys, right? They played even though it was Xavier from Fresno, but played in Texas, and Temple, Texas is where Jared Wiley's from.
Right.
So
yeah, they like those award guys like you do. The Chiefs just took Jaden Hicks, a safety out of Washington State, with pick 133.
Rock the Washington State cap now, baby.
You've been wearing that cap all weekend. And yeah, you're talking about a guy who's 6'1", 215, so he's got good size to him. And yeah, I mean, you look at his physical profile here, like – You know, 40 time, about 4.5. So that's good speed for a safety. A lot of those guys are like 4.6, 4.7 speed. But he did run that at his pro day, so it could be some home
safety rotation's
there.
Big. Brian Cook gets hurt last year. He'll be back this year. Nazi Johnson's coming back this year. There's going to be some good competition.
Yeah, there's some good depth now. Like him, you got like now in that safety room, you're going to have Justin Reed, who, you know, I think we all expect to be playing his last year in Kansas City. You do have Brian Cook. You do have Shamari Connor, though Shamari Connor probably going to be that hybrid safety and cornerback role. And then, now you've got a pure safety on your team now with Jaden Hicks. So,
and Nazi Johnson was a guy that was going to get his big-time special teams player, played in special teams in the Eagles Super Bowl, seventh-round pick, who was going to get a chance last year until he tore the ACL.
So, a lot of the big thing that you're kind of seeing here about Jaden Smith, though, is that he's got the frame of a small linebacker, but the athleticism of a corner, which is exactly what the Chiefs like at that position.
Put him right over the slot.
Yeah, they love those safeties that have the size to be effective as tacklers in the run game, but they also like them to be athletic enough to be able to go back and play coverage, whether it being as tight ends, receivers, etc. So,
and moving
really
up to line of scrimmage, which is what they like to do.
Oh, they love a good DB sitting there at the line of scrimmage, potentially waiting to blitz.
Does this pick have anything to say about Shamari Connor?
No. They like Shamari Connor.
No, they Shamari Connor, especially during that playoff run, like he came out and he played incredibly well during that run. I just think for them, they kind of viewed Shamari Connor kind of playing what Snead played in early on in his career, where he was that slot corner that was very, very active in the blitz game and was, he was kind of playing that more star position role. I think that's kind of where they view Shamari Connor. And so in the case of Jaden here, I think for them, they're kind of looking at him as more of a traditional safety.
So do you think he plays more like the Thornhill role?
Yeah, he can do a lot. Listen, he had 2.5 sacks last year, as a safety. He had 6 tackles for losses. He's a run defender as well. He could do a lot of different things, but that's in the mold of what they like to do. Uh-huh. Move guys at the line of scrimmage, let them blitz. Chiefs lead the league in secondary blitzes. So Jaden Hicks, another one of those guys that gets sent to the quarterback.
They do love their like tweener guys that you're like, you could be a linebacker, you could be a corner, you could be a safety. I'm just trying to like
size for that. But
off the top of my head, I'm just like, okay, where does he fit in this defense? And maybe he's not a this year defense guy. Maybe he is, he's going to play special teams and then, he'll be in every once in a while, but they don't really have a set plan for him in his first year.
I also wonder if maybe they're going to really commit Shamari Connor more to playing slot corner than playing safety like he had been before. And if that's the case, then, having some good depth here with Jaden Hicks here, I think gives them a little bit more flexibility in their secondary. Cause we've said this pretty much all weekend is like versatility is king for the Chiefs. They like guys who can play different roles. And I think Jaden Hicks kind of gives you that ability to do that.
Some of the text lines is upset with the last two picks of the Chiefs. Love the first two. How can you be that way? Cause we excited about Jalen Watson, who ended up getting two picks for you in the postseason 2 years ago. Isaiah Pacheco, a seventh rounder. Nazi Johnson, as we mentioned, a seventh round pick as well. The Chiefs do damage in these roles, and there's no telling who knows what's going to happen with Jared Wiley. Maybe you got some studs here. We don't know. That's the one thing. They do their homework on these guys, so I will trust in Veach.
One interesting thing somebody brought up on the text line here. As pumped as I was after the first two rounds, I'm equally disappointed last two picks. I'm not disappointed. Like the Jared Wiley pick is interesting. Cause like this, that's a guy who's like it. That to me is the BJ Thompson type pick where you're taking a guy who's an athlete, but
replacement for Blake Bell.
Exactly. This is a guy who's going to be a project. Like this is not a guy who's immediately going to come in and be that. I mean, maybe he surprises everyone.
Like Blake Bell, you make that catch from time to time and you can go in there as a blocker. So
yeah,
that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I think this might be one of those situations where they end up like they view him as an incredible athlete at that position, but they do not feel like they need to kind of put him out there and make him an impact player anytime soon. Maybe they do. Like somebody brought up here, like Chiefs might keep four tight ends. Remember, the fullback position is dead. They didn't last year, though. Like last year, they kept three tight ends and
could use Bell if they had to.
Yeah, they used Bell, and it didn't work out quite well. But yeah, they kept three last year without a fullback. So that's not necessarily true, but it is possible that they do that.
Here's where NFL Draft Buzz had the rankings going into the draft. Tyler Newbin, they had one. Number two, they had Javon Bullard. Number three, Jaden Hicks. So they had him. They rated him as a top three safety in their books.
On the Beast, Jaden Hicks is the number one ranked safety. So
Dane Brugler?
Yeah, Dane Brugler has Jaden Hicks as the number one ranked safety. He had him as a second round grade. And I'll be really interested to see what during the scout press conference and during Veach's press conference,
Brugler knows his
where
stuff.
They had him ranked, because yeah, he's got Jaden Hicks as a second round pick. He's got Javon Bullard right after him, Tyler Newbin third, Cole Bishop four, Cameron Kitchens fifth. Cameron Kitchens fifth actually. So yeah, like, you know, you look at that, and I think there's going to be a lot of debate about the rankings of these safeties. And again, this is not a great safety class. Like, we're not talking about there was no safety out there. Maybe Tyler Newbin, who you could argue was a first round value. None of these other guys are. So I think if you're able to go and say, hey, you got potentially a second day pick in the fourth round at safety, maybe the best safety in the draft, I think you're feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, 100%, because you replace them, and safeties have been sitting out there. We know that the free agency, but this is the way to do it. You grab somebody in the draft and don't pay him nearly as much. But Jaden Hicks, I feel, will be a guy that you're talking about in the future.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think I really like the Jaden Hicks pick. I thought that safety was going to be a position that they address. And I've said this the entire time throughout this entire draft process. There's no guarantee that corner's going to happen. Especially when you look at the number of corners that have been drafted in this draft class, like right before the Chiefs were able to go up and grab a corner, they just started getting picked. They just started getting taken out there. And you know, the Chiefs could have had an opportunity there with TJ Tampa at 131. Didn't happen. The Ravens went out and took a corner there. And, you know, there was a run on corner on day two. And the value didn't happen there in the second round, where they could have potentially gotten a corner. Didn't really happen. By the time we got to round three, there weren't any corners worth trading back in to go get. So sometimes it's just how the board works. Like, I know a lot of people, you know, might be mad about the fact that if they do get a corner now, like you're talking about a big project guy, which I kind of felt like might be where they go anyways at corner. I never thought that corner was going to be like a major priority, but I mean, I get the lack of enthusiasm you would have with these two picks, but I think Jaden Hicks is a great pick. We'll see about Wiley. Like, Wiley's a guy that we're going to – in training camp, that's when we'll start to get to see what he could do, and in preseason. I think that's where we're going to get to see whether or not – just how viable this pick was.
I think this is actually a really good value for the Chiefs, for Dane Brugler to have him as his number one safety.
Like I said, I'm cool with Jaden Hicks, pick. Man. I'm not mad about Jaden Hicks.
He had 34 defensive stops last year, fifth among Power 5 safeties.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is a guy look, this is a guy who was a force in the passing game and in the run game as well. He was an honorable mention, all Pac-12. Yeah, look, this, and not only that, but he was a special teams guy,
so
too.
So Kingsley, you got first round talent in the second, and you got second round talent
here in the fourth.
In the fourth, yeah. For Brett Veach.
I think that's maximizing value and using your picks the most effectively that you can. I'm certainly not mad about that. We'll continue to talk about these two picks that the Chiefs made in the fourth round here. Plus, we'll keep things going along as now we're in round five of the NFL draft. You're listening to 610 Sports 2024 NFL draft coverage.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.